Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we have the privilege today of talking about how to get those last holdouts in a couple of countries to get out and vaccinate. Some of the countries around the world have very high vaccination rates. The United States, Israel, Chile come to mind immediately. Also, I believe Bahrain is way up there on the list. And yet, the negative side of that is that you're seeing at some of the vaccination centers, some of the pharmacies, that people aren't really showing up anymore, and that you have more vaccine available than people willing to do it. And the big question, trying to get toward herd immunity, that 60 to 70% immunization range, is how do you get that last, I don't know, is it 10%, is it 15%, 20%? It depends on the country. How do you get them to actually come in and get the jab?
Yeah, here we are in Germany. It looks like the government here is trying to preempt that when down the road people can get vaccinated.
Yeah, when it's open up to everyone.
Yeah, because they have just passed through the Bundestag and the Bundesrat. Those are the two houses of parliament. The so-called privileges for vaccinated and people who have recovered from the coronavirus. Essentially, at the moment, it looks like if you are vaccinated, you will be treated as someone who has tested negative for the disease. So you won't have to be testing yourself on a daily basis to go get your hair cut.
So that would be under, I guess, if we're going to cover, let's say, three ways governments around the world could do it, that'd be number one, privileges, allowing people to do more things. Frankly, I'm kind of underwhelmed by the offer that the German government is, you know, potentially providing there.
Yeah, they're also working in conjunction with the European Union on these vaccination passports.
Right.
We were going to go visit the company in Cologne that's going to be creating the technology for that, but they just haven't invited us.
I don't know what they're doing there, to be honest. They've kind of gone radio silent. We'll find out later. But yeah, one clear way of doing this, of getting those last holdouts or some of the last holdouts to come in and get pricked in the arm, is to say, look, you'll be able to do a lot more things more easily after getting vaccinated. And that jibes with some research, some really amazing research, actually, that has come from the University of California, Los Angeles in the United States, where they looked at 75,000 people. I would actually love to talk to the people behind this research over the course of 10 months. That's a lot of folks. And what they did is they had unvaccinated people, and they assigned them into all sorts of various groups. And the idea was basically, look, let's put a group of people in all these different rooms and just splash messages at them, propaganda style, and see which ones walk out of those closed containers with higher levels of vaccine acceptancy, right?
And they're keeping track of a moderately sized city?
Yeah.
75,000 people on how they react to different stimuli when it comes to the question of will you get vaccinated?
Yeah. And not
and what's come out of this research?
Not constantly tracking them every day or every week, but bringing people in and communicating with them, or people who are already there communicating with them. What they found is that there were some messages that worked better than others. So the message, it will protect you, wasn't necessarily as strong as the message, it will protect you and those around you. And that jibes with, Gabe, you'll remember this, we talked to a vaccine hesitancy researcher here at the University of Erfurt. Her name's Sarah Eitzer. They found the same thing. It jumped there from a willingness of 50% to 70%. That's how powerful that message is. When you start talking about protecting others and herd immunity, that's a message that works. The problem there is there have been so many messages, right, in the last few months, in the last year, that I don't know if people are like, if they would still accept a new message. And where you would put it, what, on TV, on the radio? Who knows?
It's not that simple anymore.
No, and the difference, the effect on those various groups with different messages wasn't nearly as large as, first of all, what you said, privileges. In the United States, that tended to work better with conservatives, that they would be able to do more things after getting vaccinated. And with what the United States calls liberals, or the left side of the political spectrum.
Democrats and Republicans. Can we just say it? Can we just call it that way?
Sure.
Okay.
There, it was cash. Show me the money. Give me some cash, put it in my pocket, then I'll go get vaccinated.
Okay, so in this UCLA study, if you're a Democrat and you're at this point not sure if you're going to get
you're
vaccinated.
You're on the fence, yeah.
If you're offered $100,
yeah,
and then you're much more likely to get vaccinated than if you're told that that it's good for you and society.
Right, right. It comes down to money.
$100
Well, they did $25, $50, $100, and they found, surprise, surprise, the effect was largest with the largest sum of money. And what I would wonder, I haven't looked into the data in a really detailed way, but of course that's going to have $100 for somebody who's, you know, making tons of cash every year, then it may not be the same incentive as for in some of the lower income areas. That's a really decent incentive. And should we think about that? And is it the kind of tool that you
are we sure that this works?
Based on these surveys, this and interviews, that's what seems to incentivize some people, not all of them.
I remember research where if you are offered money to do something, you kind of think that that something is not worth as much.
Correct. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But the
like if I give you $100 to go do something, you're going to wonder about the value of that thing that you're going to go do.
The way it was discussed, as I understand, amongst the UCLA researchers was that this would be the type of tool that you wouldn't use right out of the gate for everyone.
Mm.
Because, of course, there is a decent amount of people in every country who want, who you don't have to give them money. They want to go get this vaccine. But for those holdouts, for those last ones. So let's say...
Yeah, but even then, aren't they going to think it's even more risky? Okay, now you're trying to buy me off?
Possibly, but in researching this, some of the there are all sorts of ways of approaching this problem, and one of them is psychologically.
Yeah.
And what they've said is, at least according to the research I looked at, is that at a certain point you can kind of stop discussing or talking about the idea of changing someone's opinion. So we're this far into the pandemic, people have formed their opinion how they feel about the COVID-19 vaccine.
So you're not necessarily going to change your opinion on whether this is a good thing or a valuable thing.
No.
You're just trying to give them a little bit of incentive.
Exactly. I hate this vaccine, but I do like $100. So that's a tool that could work. Serbia is now offering this $30, roughly 25 and a half euros for people to go out and get vaccinated in that country. And combined with, you talked about privileges or incentives, how about a disincentive?
Yeah.
In Serbia, if you choose not to get vaccinated and then later you do get sick as a result of COVID-19 and you are publicly employed by the state, you do not get paid sick leave. So you can sit, you can go hang out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you're not going to get your salary. And so we'll have to look later at the data. Is that approach going to work? I don't know. It's an interesting one.
And there are some ways around that. You just stay at home and don't go to the doctor. Do not get diagnosed with COVID-19
at all
costs.
Hey, doc, can you call it the flu for me?
No, I got a broken leg.
Yeah, creates some weird disincentives. So that's kind of, I guess, point number two. We've talked about privileges. Here you've got financial incentives. Gabe, you came up with a wild one that is surprisingly effective.
Yeah,
the study
you were looking at is out in California. Let's go to the other side of the United States in Pennsylvania, where they found out that you can get people to immunize by sending them a couple of text messages.
And this was about the flu, right?
This was done late last year with regard to the flu vaccine. So there were a number of different kinds of texts that they sent to these people involved in this study. Out of the 19 different texts...
Text messages,
right? Text messages that were sent, the ones that worked best were if that person had a doctor's appointment coming up. That one text was sent 3 days before that appointment.
3 days.
Saying, there is a flu shot reserved for you at that appointment if you want to take it. That's all it said.
Oh, so no emotional appeal? No.
No, that was one of the 19 kinds of texts. The other 18 were saying, get a flu vaccination or else. This is how bad the flu can be. These are the numbers. Those didn't work. But the ones that did work were the ones just saying, there is a dose reserved for you. Those worked, and to the extent of 11%.
That's—I was going to say that
11%.
That could be the difference between herd immunity and not herd immunity. I've never gotten a message like that. I do know.
So not writing people get a COVID-19 vaccine or else, nothing about herd immunity and what it will mean for them or society. Just tell them, at your next doctor's appointment, there is a COVID-19 vaccine reserved for you. According to this study in Pennsylvania, that's what would have the best effect.
I can tell you it works for me with my hair. I almost missed a haircut a couple times ago before the lockdown. But I get a text message from them the evening before.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I have a haircut tomorrow. Works for me.
That's enough to get you to get your haircut, but also to immunize people.
And last thing, and I'm totally speculating based on my own anecdotal impression of how things have gone here in Germany and talking to family and friends back home in the United States. One thing that I hope comes out of this pandemic is that in the future, things work the other direction. And what I mean by that is here, sitting where I am right now, Gabe, you and I just found out today that in our state in Germany, which has about 20 million people living in it, we now have access to the AstraZeneca vaccine. It's open to everyone.
Yeah.
Not all of the other vaccines. And yet, I'm not sure, or what wasn't too clearly communicated is where. So we've got vaccination centers. We've got general practitioners. I could go to the doctor's office. And maybe, is that where should I call them up? We also have here at Deutsche Welle a doctor in the basement, a couple of them, and they're also immunizing or will be immunizing. Should I get in touch with them?
Maybe we should ask our sound engineer, Christoph Grove.
He doesn't know.
Who's sitting here looking at us with a wry smile?
He doesn't know.
He just chimed in saying he doesn't know.
That's great.
That doesn't help us, Christoph.
No, that's great. And I guess what I'm trying to say is there's an online portal that I was just looking at. You can put your name in. The onus or the responsibility in this pandemic has really been on me and on you and the individual to figure out is this priority round three? Are we up? Is it my turn now? Or wait,
maybe that explains the 11% increase in the Pennsylvania study.
It's hard, Gabe.
Give me a little help. Tell me where to go to get the needle.
Exactly. If you put all of the burden, or almost all of it, on the individual citizens to figure out how to navigate this new pandemic world, you're going to lose a percentage of them. And my hope, for better and for worse, we live here in a country that is really committed to data privacy. Nobody wants to give their information to anyone. But my hope is that in a future world, in a future pandemic, you'll be sitting at your home and get a text message or a telephone call or an email.
Where to go and when?
You're up. It's your turn.
Yep.
We wish you the best, and I would.
And that vial is reserved for you,
with a
little personal touch,
a voice message that sounds like that one. I would really genuinely be interested to hear from all of you listening to this around the world. Maybe your country is doing things better than Germany, or differently than Germany. Different incentives, disincentives,
or if you were on the fence when it comes to getting vaccinated, what would be a deciding factor for you to end up getting the shot or not getting the shot?
Yeah.
Let us know. SU@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.